passionate instigator, and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One ohm at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to try to challenge everything and everyone with the goal of expanding your reality. You know, we are in a day and age where everybody is being, or there is an attempt to have everybody being forced like cattle into, you know, the cattle chutes. And you got to declare, and your cattle chute has to be determined. You get certain cattle chutes for your religion, and you get certain cattle chutes for your orientation, and you get certain cattle chutes for your party, you know, your political party, and there are cattle chutes for your, you know, your race, you name it, race, gender, everything. And everybody's trying to put everybody out like they're an assembly belt. Here's a little box. Sit in it, stand in it, be in it. Because the minute you tell me this about you, I know all about you, so you don't have to say anything else. And that kind of sloppy, lazy thinking has been exactly what has gotten us where we are today, which is with a narcissistic, completely self-serving, pathological liar as a bully in chief, and a party that will support them whatever he does, because power is more important than anything else, and the check that they can cash from the lobbyists. People don't know how to believe anymore, and instead of asking better questions, instead of listening more, instead of opening up to the realities of looking at what's right in front of your eyes again and again and again and again, that they're just going to let somebody else determine their truth, and then they're just going to repeat it. And after a while, I can tell in the first four or five or six words when I'm talking to somebody that all that they should be saying is bah, 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 because they're just sheep, no thoughts, no anything. They're just following over here. I am your savior. And we're putting up with it. I have said many times on this show, we need to be questioning the leaders that we say we're following. We need to be holding those leaders accountable. If you are a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, you should be taking your Republicans to task for the crap that they are pulling, instead of buying it all as if they're somehow perfect with white hats and halos, floating, playing harps. I can just see Mitch McConnell playing a harp up there in his angelic robes, floating on the clouds as he's defecating over all of America. But if you're a Republican, you know, he's at the right hand of God, the God, Donald Trump, and at the left hand of it, at the God, Donald Trump, is Mike Pence. And you don't question that. You don't question the Bible. You don't question God. I saw an article that came out about talking about that Donald J. Trump was the most biblical president we have ever had. This woman made a case of how he's fulfilling the biblical prophecies in his presidenthood, and why all Christians should be basically kneeling and bowing at his altar. This was a real article. I mean, all I can say is I'm glad I had an empty stomach when I came across it, because I didn't have anything to lose. So it is about us questioning. It is about us making us keeping our side, whatever our side of the street is, accountable. As many of you that have been following me understand, I've the last couple of times been talking about Mayor Pete as my favorite choice at this point to be the Democratic nomination. And I say that for a lot of reasons. But one of the things that he says that I like, which there's an accountability built into his statement, is when people ask him about Medicare for all. And he goes, yes, I would love to see Medicare for all, but that's not the next step. That's not the next step that America is prepared to take. And when I look at some of the steps that the Obama administration took, they may have pushed them a little too fast and a little too far. And that opens the doorway for, hear no evil, see no evil, say no evil Republican Party that is letting Donald Trump basically humiliate America and really screw up a lot of people's lives, our lands, ignoring climate change, all of these things. But one of the things that Mayor Pete said that I just looked at and I was like, oh my God. He's like, how about we have Medicare for all who want it? That if we just made Medicare available as something that anybody could buy as their choice of health insurance, then the companies that are out there that are in bed and playing the game with the pharmaceuticals and the AMA and stuff like that these are my words, not his. He just said, how about if we put it out there? I believe that there would be a shift in the marketplace and insurance companies would have to become more competitive because Medicare would be such a giant and have such a giant bargaining chip. Unlike some of the people that are out there that go, Medicaid for all and all insurance companies are evil and they need to go away. And and that's where we get this socialist thing that goes on that makes everybody, creep. Now, first of all, half the people that are using the word are using it inappropriately. They don't know the definition for it. And they're just kind of squawking like a parrot. Sometimes I walk around and I hear or see some of the noise on social media or on, YouTube, or I don't have cable. I have a television set, but it's not hooked up to any kind of cable because I won't do that. But I'll see it in the news and I'll get clips here and there of stuff going on. And I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm living deep in the jungles of South America and all I'm surrounded is by parrots. And something is said, and then you hear all the parrots repeat it. Not question it, not challenge it, not engage with it, not even think about it. Just repeat it, like a bunch of parrots. They're all socialists, they're all socialists. You can't even define the word, nor can the person say it, nor do they look at the difference between a socialist and a social democrat, which is a different thing. And we don't have a democracy, but we have democratic values. So when Mayor Pete says, so let's take the step that's going to invite people in to participate in Medicare and upgrade that option to everybody, it's going to change the marketplace. Capitalism continues. Now, we need to have capitalism with some integrity that represents our democratic values. Capitalism, like any kind of system of being, like any program, any philosophy, can run rampant. It can run wild. It can run off the rails. And it has, when we see how much it's skewed to keeping the rich folks happy. And the income disparity has become so big. And the average American's vote doesn't even count anymore. Maybe in one of five or six states. What? No. Everybody should be challenging some of this stuff as it's un-American. But back to Mayor Pete for a second. So when Mayor Pete says, so we take this step that allows us to support capitalism. We're not trying to run all the insurance companies out of town like they're the bad guys with the black hats. Okay. But we have a way to affect the market in a healthy, balanced way where we can open up something that will be good for the American people and will be good for capitalism because it's going to make it more competitive, which is better for the buyer, not the seller. So often, things that are being run through Congress or being signed off or executive orders are actually stacking the deck against the buyer, so to speak, and stacking the deck for the seller, which is why we shouldn't have lobbyists. We just shouldn't have them. And nobody's vote should count more than anyone else's vote. One person, one vote, they all vote, and who the majority votes for, who goes in that office. And it's not about rewriting districts so that politicians can pick, pick their voters. Well, if I draw my district this way, then I know I will always get elected, or my party will always get elected, because I'm basically, I'm going to skip this street and add this street, and I'm going to add this area, and I'm going to skip that area because that area might vote against. If you have to rewrite the lines to stay in office, then you're not doing a good job at what you're doing. So they should all be standardized, and they should be standardized from state to state, because these are things that should be federally mandated because they're sending these people to the federal government. This has nothing to do with states' rights. This has to do with you're talking about how you elect your senators and your House of Representatives federally. If you want to screw the pooch statewide, well, that's for your state to rebel about how you do your local state senators and your local state representatives. Different story. So, this is a pivotal time in America. And it's a time when we have to all check our illusions at the door and do some reality checks, because we are creating things that are going to have a price that will be paid for generations to come. Generations, the decisions made now are affecting generations and generations of people. So for those of you that are used to the Dr. Kevin Show, and if we have any new people coming in, welcome. First of all, I would like to remind you that this is a live call-in show, and you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. You can also come to Facebook. If you're somebody who would rather type a question in on my Facebook feed, you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Come there. You will see today's show listed at the top of the feed. And when you come to it, you will see that I have a today's guest who has not showed up yet. And I've reached out to him, and we're hoping that we're hoping that he's okay and that something will still be able to happen, that he may still call in before the show. But until then, it's you, me, and what's going on in the world. And so I encourage you as I'm sharing some of these ideas and these thoughts, because I usually start with a hot topic. Well, this kind of hot topic is I think all of the topics I'll discuss tonight will be hot to some degree, unless, of course, again, that we find that my guest that and I have to say, this is the second time he's done it to me. So I am going to say that the host of the Dr. Kevin Show is not pleased by this lack of appearance. And so we're going to figure that out. But besides that, it's a chance for me to share some of what's going on in the world from the Dr. Kevin perspective. And it's a chance for you to either call in at 202-570-7057 or to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. Make sure when you're there, you like the page. I'm a likable guy. So like the page, come on down. And even though my guest today is not here, you will still have a place where you can just put comments, and I will share those comments on air. Now, if you call in, whatever side of the great divide you're on that's going on in this country today, whatever that is, I insist people be respectful. If you post something that is disrespectful on my timeline, I'm going to delete it. If you start in on something that's disrespectful on a phone call, then we're going to disconnect you. I want to hear your opinions. I want to take your questions. I would love to have conversations with you, but we need to up the quality of the conversation in this country. We need to hold people accountable that aren't answering questions. We have to hold people accountable that we're getting away to lie about these questions. And we're not going to put up with bullies, name calling, and people getting all in their, you know, all in their high dungeons and not really having a discussion, but just preaching. Now, you may say, well, Dr. Kevin, you sound kind of like you're preaching. Well, that's because you haven't called in. I'm either preaching or teaching. And, you know, in this case, I'm also open for discussion. So, again, please feel free to call in as we talk about some of these things. And, you know, when you have to use a lot of profanity, when you have to use a lot of name calling, when you have to use a lot of avoiding the question, it's because either you don't know the answer, or you know that if you gave the answer, nobody would really like it. And so you just, you know, dazzle them with, you know, derogatory comments, or you baffle them with bullshit, but you don't get out anything of meaning or substance. And I'm so tired of so little of meaning and substance coming out of Washington these days, you know, and the fact that there are so many things that Americans actually agree in. And we're going to be coming right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show. We're going to be taking you around the world today, it looks like, of what's going on, and we invite you to join the conversation.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramala Mitten. And we wanted to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, L.A., Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. So we're going to continue to take ourselves around the world and talk about different things going on in the world. And then we're going to invite you, or invite you all along the way, to be part of the conversation, to call us in at 202-570-7057. Or come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, where you can like my page and you can leave a comment under tonight's show, and we will share your comment on air. We were talking about respectful dialogue and how it seems to have died in America, especially in American politics. It's now all about a show. It's about hopping up and down. I think sometimes that we should just do away with the traditional makeup artists that do things for major television stations and things. And I think we should, you know, at least for some of the politicians that we're being stuck with this day, we should simply get somebody that's left over from all these circuses that have closed, because they really should just be painted in clown makeup. If they're going to act like a clown and they're going to make everything silly and foolish and inaccurate, and they're going to just see how many times that they can, pull a fast one over on you and stuff like that, I think that it would just be better if we just, I think that it would be a more accurate representation if we just got a really good makeup artist that, you know, makes up clowns at some of the, you know, circuses, though there are not a lot of those left. Unfortunately, it's something that seems to have been dying off in America. That the next time that our old bully in chief wants to talk to, we should just, let's just put a Bozo the Clown wig on him and do him up in clown makeup. And then, you know, at least the visual matches what's coming out of his mouth. So that's one of the things I think that could be more helpful. I've always liked the idea, and it's not an original idea for me. I'm a big fan of the idea that we should make everybody wear, you know, in the Senate and the House of Representatives and in the White House, anybody that's elected, that I think that they really should, you know, have to wear jackets like they do at NASCAR, that they have all of the patches of who owns them. So at least we know, is this Exxon Mobil that owns them? Is this Merrick that owns them? You know, are they, you know, we can have sections. So this is the pharmaceutical section, and this is the oil and gas industry section. And so I just think that if we're going to be stuck with having our politicians serving lobbyists instead of us, then at least we should have a clear visual representation of that. So I'm open, again, call in 202-570-7057. If you'd like to join part of the conversation about, would it be a good idea if we just had a better visual representation of what's going on? What we all know is going on, whether we want to or not. We just want to kind of deny it. So I'm going to move on from that subject, though I'm sure at some point I'm going to bring back some comments from my favorite old Mayor Pete there, who is out there just coming up with some actual solid policies and things that are that the majority of Americans in polling say they could get behind. But Congress can't make happen, because Congress isn't about the will of the people. It's about who has the "I screwed you on this" right, as this tug of war between Republicans and Democrats has reached all new heights of ludicrousness. And nobody is standing head and shoulders above in this game. They're both pulling fast ones, and both have been pulling fast ones for over a decade now, of where they say they talk a good game, but when the votes come, it doesn't happen. So now one of the things that I want to talk about is the fires in Notre Dame. Of course, I'm very sad when we lose, you know, or partially lose, or have something happen like this that is really losing a great treasure, or losing some of the great treasures. And there were some fabulous acts of humanity where they were taking things as that place was in a human chain, were passing treasures out the doors to preserve them, to preserve our history, to, you know, preserve some things that, you know, people travel all over the world to go see. And, you know, this was going to be my original hot under the collar topic tonight, actually, was to talk about that. And now one of the things is that I was going to talk about it from the, it warmed the cockles of my heart, that people really pulled together. They really, you know, risked their own lives at times, you know, getting these treasures out and doing that. And it is, it never ceases to amaze me how much that humanity will, can, and does come together at a time of crisis. So that being said, now one of the things that's been happening is all of the monies that have been coming in. I think it's over $1 billion now. Over $1 billion has been pledged by some corporations, individuals that are, I saw that somebody donated $112 million, and then that $112 million was matched by somebody else. And then that person's competitor doubled that amount that they did. And then, of course, we have the whole, you know, Disney, I think, donated something like $5 million and stick the foot in his mouth, Ted Cruz, made a kind of a, oh, you know, it's so nice Disney did it. I'm sure we're going to have the, something about the Disney princesses now being in the stained glass windows, which was just a nasty, unnecessary comment. Disney, I think it was $5 million to help restore what's considered an international, a worldwide treasure, Notre Dame. And so from that side of it, there's a lot of good things that can be said. But now let's talk about $1 billion being raised for the restoration of an 800-year-old church. When last, only a few months ago, when they were trying to raise less than half that amount, because the majority of the people in Yemen were starving under warring conditions, that I think they raised something like $10 million, which is still good, but it was for taking care of people who are being victimized by zealots, and that need medical supplies and food to live and survive, and these are children and stuff like that. And there was a plea from the UN to try to raise money, and in 36 hours, over $1 billion is raised to save a building. And, you know, and some of that is about ego. Some of that is, you know, these ultra rich people that have more money than they know what to do with, that can write a check for $112 million and it doesn't hurt their net worth all that much. And they're probably going to make some of that back in the PR that will come out of the fact that they donated the $112 million. But it says that there's something inherently wrong with humanity, that we can raise $1 billion in 36 hours, more than $1 billion, to restore a church. but we have a whole nation that is starving to death under a war that's being a horrific war that's being led by zealots, and we can't even reach the goal after weeks of outreach of some of the movers and shakers. These artistic treasures are more important than a whole country of people who are starving to death. What does that say about the other side of the nature of humanity? And how can we have people that swim in that kind of money, that kind of reality, that kind of they can open the doors? I mean, and they've always been around. They used to be the Carnegie Mellons, and, you know, and they, you know, we had all of our people from the late 1800s who built their beautiful mansions in Newport, Rhode Island, and created foundations and stuff like this. Well, there were people dying to make their dreams come true that they barely paid a poverty level to, because these were immigrants. Oh, and that's such a bad word these days, isn't it? That came here looking for a better life and got taken advantage of, working in horrible conditions, getting paid barely enough to live on, but just enough so that they couldn't really find anything else, and were just abused in a legalized slavery way by some of these multimillionaires of their day, billionaires today, who life has no value unless it's your life or somebody that you know personally that you care about. And all other life is disposable for the God almighty dollar, euro, whatever it is, Bitcoin, I don't care. And that we have governments, and ours right at the top of the list, that make policies and laws and create things to make sure that these very wealthy people are catered to and will continue to get wealthy when we still have homeless, starving people in our own country, and that we have horrible things in the world going on that could be solved by this, by even a small piece of this massive wealth floating around that got created because we allowed our integrity to get bought. We allowed our humanity to be sold at the altar of it's just capitalism. But it needs to be, as I said in the first segment, it needs to be capitalism with democratic integrity. That it has to recognize the inherent value and worth of all people, and that all people should be getting lifted up and supported, because we don't have really a shortage of anything in this world yet. So if we continue, especially primarily, but especially in this country, ignoring climate change, and we continue to have massive destructive events happen, there may be a day when we do have a shortage of the ability to create food, but we're already solving that with technology and science and how to bring new ways of producing food with better food with less land. And I'm not talking about genetic modification, because that's another whole horror story, which we're not going to get into right now. But that we can actually grow more with less without having to affect it so that it looks pretty. That's there you go. One of the top 10 problems in humanity. We value looking pretty above everything else. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have to offer or how smart you are. It doesn't matter if you are the most nutritious, most full of taste tomato you ever ate. If you don't look like a pretty tomato, they're going to keep on playing with you. Do you look pretty? Pretty in plastic, and you destroy half the nutrients, and you chemicalize it so it's semi-toxic, but it looks pretty. Because we all want it to look pretty. Well, there's nothing that doesn't have some pretty in it if you look for it. But we've also let Madison Ave and Wall Street and the corporations brainwash us as to what pretty is. I recently saw where there was all sorts of hateful comments and videos on a video of a larger woman who was wearing a bikini and chose to wear a bikini, and she had pictures of her in her bikini on there. And there were truly vitriolic comments about that. And we participate and support this when we allow things like Madison Avenue and Wall Street and lobbyists to run our country and have, you know, the old marionettes with the little crossbars that have the strings that pull the puppets that we call senators and House of Reps and presidents and stuff like that. They make them dance the tune to make sure that they're all kind of sort of taken care of. And then they destroy our self-worth and self-esteem through marketing and media and advertising and make sure that we feel like we have no value or worth so they can sell us something. So they can give us a pill. We have more emotional, mental illnesses, even showing up in 3- and 4-year-olds, than even existed 50 years ago. But we're creating that. We create it through the bad food, the bad diet. We create it by having a enslaved poverty and even now middle class that have to have 2 working parents working full time that may not even really know how to do good parenting because they may have come from the generation where they were latchkey kids or their parents did, where we have the one parent household and we don't value family. Every time I hear some of this focus on family and values and stuff like this, again, it's a good thing that I had an empty stomach. Because I would have had an empty stomach after I read it if I'd had a full one. Because, oh, and here we go. We're going into our break and we'll be back and we'll continue to take a look at what's going on in the world here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
We'll be right back.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're trying to change the world one ohm at a time. I want to remind people that the Dr. Kevin Show is a live call-in show, and you can be calling in and participating in any of these wild and woolly conversations that I am bringing to the forefront as we are adjusting to a missing guest. Always an opportunity to speak out on a number of things that I don't always get to when I'm having guests. So we have our own joy in this. And we want you to join our joy by calling in at 202-570-7057. Weigh in, agree, disagree, bring a different perspective, bring a different thought process. It's all welcome. If you'd rather type it in, if you're more of a, I'd rather do it online, then you can do it at facebook.com/mydrkevin, mydrkevin. And when you come to My Dr. Kevin, you will see the posting about the guest who is supposed to be here. But we're going to actually probably edit that post, and we're going to talk about, you know, Dr. Kevin talking about the world or whatever. And if you are listening to this in one of our many replays, as we get replayed for six more times this week, then you can still come to Facebook, leave a comment, ask a question, weigh in on something. We would love to have you do it. Again, the only requirement is it must be respectful. And I'm sure that some of the things I've said in the last 45 minutes, some people have felt might not have been completely respectful. Oh, well. You should be used to a double standard. We have one with our elected representatives. They get one term and lifetime health care coverage that's better than anything we'll ever get for free, which we pay for. They get all of these perks and benefits. They get these double standards. They get when they're, you know, laying off or not replacing people or doing things within the government that's so bloated because our debt is so high and everybody is so horrified, they still get to give themselves raises. There are so many double standards where that somehow we have created a minor royalty. We really have. And we've created this minor royalty of people who have a different set of rules that they live by, things they get away with, things that we wouldn't even think about, you know, that we'd be horrified if we actually thought about it. And it's always on our backs, the backs of the taxpayers. And so with this, and with this going on, we again want to hold our people, our representatives, accountable. Why do you get free health care, but we have to pay for it? Why? You worked a job. I worked a job. When I left the job, I had to make my own health care. Why do you take swats at the system that we all have to live with when we're elderly, the Medicare, Medicaid system, and you get to have something different? Why? We need to be asking more questions. So we are going to yet again move on to something else that's going on in the world. I wasn't gonna touch this show. Actually, I talked to my producer a little bit before I went on, and he bet he knew my hot topic, and my hot topic was going to be the Notre Dame fire and kind of the mixed messages that were sent around the fire. Because he said, I thought you'd talk about the Mueller report. And I was going to hold off talking about the Mueller report, first of all, because I have not necessarily had a time this afternoon to see all of what's coming out. But the problem is that we may never know all of it. But I think we're going to find out a whole lot more than what's available right now. We're going to find out where our attorney general, appointed by our president, decided to take a different legal perspective than what was in there. And we are going to see that, you know, it's so funny. Because what I keep on wanting to see when I say there is, you know, there was no evidence that there was an intentionality in collusion, though even collusion is not the word. It's just the word that Trump came up with and repeated so often that we're like semi-hypnotized robots, and we repeat the words he uses, but that, you know, that he, you know, and that he didn't try to commit an obstruction of justice. What little I've seen, and again, I'm probably going to talk about this again more next week because I suspect more is going to come out. We're just starting to see the guns line up, and I've heard everything from a lightly redacted Mueller report was released to Congress to a heavily redacted. But of course, again, we know that there is obviously in the media, they all wear hats, and they wear a red hat or a blue hat, and the words they choose are going to be reflective of the hat that they're wearing. So I don't know. I checked my mailbox today. I checked my email. Nobody sent me a copy of the report, so I can't give you an evaluation. Although I would call it heavily redacted or lightly redacted, but we'll take a look at it. We do know that the Attorney General played a Trump game by using the word spying enough to get everybody all upset that he was being spied on by the Obama administration. They had to back away that they really had no evidence, and that would not be the right word. You think if you get to his age and his stature and supposedly his intelligence and his knowledge of that he's the Attorney General, that he wouldn't use an inflammatory, incorrect word speaking to the media? Makes you wonder a little, makes you question a little, makes me question a little. If it's not making you question even a little, then you're probably somebody that's in the parrot category of this country at this point, repeating whatever hat color says that you have sworn your allegiance and your soul to. But we know that there were definitely some other conclusions. But when they say obstruction of justice and even what we've been calling collusion, that it had to be intentional and it had to be understood. And all I hear is Mueller looked at it and thought that these people were too stupid to know better. What I hear is stupidity. You don't think that, and, you know, we have a president that won't listen to any of his advisors. There was something recently that when he was getting this very complicated briefing on a crisis in the country with the housing and things going on, and they thought he was taking copious notes, that the notes that he was talking with, he was coming up with a new name for Steve Bannon. I think it was Sloppy Steve, that he could use on Twitter. Really? This is the man that's running our country? Was he just too stupid to know that it was illegal what he was doing? Is that why we can't prove that the stuff that he did that sure looks like to a lot of very intelligent, well-educated people as obstruction wasn't really obstruction because he didn't understand that it was obstruction? I really wish somebody would leak those SAT scores and those test results that he has threatened people that they will be under the Trump fist if they ever do. So there's a lot more coming out on this report. If the conclusion really is that Don Trump Jr. was too stupid to know to sit down at a meeting about how to get hacked emails from a foreign government that we actually are not on should not be on trusting, loving, kissy terms with, that somehow that would be illegal. But you know, it's funny because I've always heard that ignorance isn't an excuse when you break a crime, when you break a law. If there's a law being broken, I've always heard that, you know, your ignorance of the law might be weighed somewhat, but that it doesn't make you completely free from the fact that you broke a law, that you even had conversations with a foreign government about getting dirt on the person that you were running against. You know, they can't improve intentionality. So then that makes me really nervous that we put somebody in charge that is so stupid that they wouldn't know, and that some of his key advisors came to that meeting and they were too stupid to know that that would be breaking a law. So we're not going to hold them accountable? I don't know. That doesn't sound like the American justice system to me. That would be like when they stopped the kid that had more than so many ounces of marijuana. And he'd be like, well, I didn't know that 10 ounces was going to make me a felon. But he probably didn't know how many ounces would make him a felon. I don't think that stopped him from being put in jail for some odd, ridiculous number of years because he was smoking marijuana. I sometimes wonder if they're smoking something else in the White House. They got to be smoking something. Well, they're smoking the American people. So there you go. And we're allowing ourselves to be smoked. So I think there's a lot more coming out on the Mueller report. I am going to probably visit this topic again. But, you know, I haven't had a chance to look at enough of the headlines to weigh in on it more than that. So I'm going to bring this show back to, as I close up today, again, you can still call in at 202-570-7057. And you can still come to facebook.com/mydrkevin and be part of this and weigh in on my Facebook fan page. Make sure you like me. Remember, I'm a likable guy. Go with it. Just go with it. You're buying so many other illusions. Just go with it. I'm a nice guy. Like my page. So anyways, so I'm going to end this with a Mayor Pete story. And I'm going to end this with a Mayor Pete story because this is hypocrisy, you know, hypocrisy at its best. And it's not Mayor Pete's hypocrisy. It's evangelical Christian. And the thing is, and one of the things that I heard that really made me think was when I was listening to somebody who was being interviewed and said that they were glad that there was actually a voice for the Christian left now, because not everybody is Christian, right? I don't think that the majority of Christians would classify themselves as a Christian right. I think that they have the biggest sway in the Republican Party. I think they have the biggest mouth. And I think they have the most hypocritical statements and comments. A few shows ago, I had somebody on who had written a book and wanted to talk about promoting a stronger evangelical Christian movement. Why he wanted to be on my show, I'm not sure, but he did. And I will let anybody come on my show if I feel like they've got something worth saying. And he had a couple books out, and so he was invited on the show. But, you know, one of the things Mayor Pete says is when he goes to church and he thinks that it's time that the Democratic side of this political system took back faith. And he hears scriptures. He hears about servant leadership. He hears about taking care of the poor and welcoming the stranger, i.e. the immigrants, and helping them. And the question I asked this guest at the end of the show a few shows back was, if this Jesus appeared that is at the center of all Christianity, supposedly, in Texas at the immigration gates, what would he do? And the guy said, well, he'd open them up and welcome in and make sure they were taken care of. And I said, so why is all of evangelical Christians so in love with Donald Trump and want to build this wall? Well, that's how it appears. He goes, well, I don't know. I just deal with the kingdom of heaven. I don't deal with the kingdom of earth. I thought that was kind of a evasive, almost arrogant answer, but it was, the show ended. I didn't call him on it. Maybe it wasn't. But what I can tell you is that there's an awful lot of Christian principles, more, in my opinion, that get ignored by these evangelical Christians to allow them to be judgmental and bigoted. Pence said he doesn't know why Mayor Pete would question his religious belief system, and he thinks that he has an issue with the First Amendment. Mayor Pete says, if you don't like who I am, it's above my pay grade. Go talk to God, because he made me exactly how he wanted me. So welcome to somebody who is going to, for a change, represent the Christian left. We will talk to you next week. I have our guest is Bobby James, the creator of the coffee. I think it's the coffee cart. But anyways, stay tuned and come to the Facebook fan page, and you will find out, because it will be get posted there later today. Namaste.